Welcome to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, where world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan answers your questions and offers healthy options for raising your pets in a more holistic manner. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure what to use for flea, tick, and heartworm prevention? Join Dr. Judy now as she interviews the top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets. I'm Dr. Judy Morgan. You can hear my show every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern by going to dreamvision7radio.com. Today, I am really excited to interview someone that I have known about for years, but I have never met in person and never talked to, so I'm excited because I'm going to learn right along with you today. Today I have Dr. Melissa Shelton. She attained her degree from the University of Minnesota College of Veterinary Medicine in 1999. She's the owner of Crow River Animal Hospital in Howard Lake, Minnesota, where her work with the medicinal use of essential oils for animals began in 2008. In 2011, she dedicated her practice solely to the research and advancement of veterinary aromatherapy. Dr. Shelton is devoted to providing accurate, honest, and documented information regarding essential oil use in the animal kingdom and is a popular speaker at veterinary conferences. In 2014, Dr. Shelton introduced Animalio, a line of veterinary essential oil products for animals. She has presented on the use of essential oils throughout the United States, Japan, Australia, and Canada, and has also authored several books and journal articles regarding the use of essential oils in animals. And I have to tell you, I love the names of these books. So one of them is Essential Oils for Natural Pet Care, and we are all about naturally healthy pets. The Animal Desk Reference, Essential Oils for Animals. We're going to talk about that one some more. And this one's my favorite, The Grandparent's Guide to the Well-Oiled Kid, which I think is just great. And, you know, the thing is, essential oils can be used for people and for animals and have been used for centuries. So, Dr. Shelton, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
And this is exciting for me because, you know, people ask me about essential oils all the time, and what I know about essential oils, we can fit in a thimble, like seriously. I know that they can be toxic when used incorrectly. I know that they should be diluted, and I know that cats can be more sensitive to oils than dogs. That's about where it ends.
Yeah.
So I rely on other people to give me information on this. So give us a little bit of background. How did you get started with essential oils? What made you say, wow, this is just like the coolest thing on earth?
Yep, and that's really what happened. So as, you know, as veterinarians, you know, of course we come across various cases that get frustrating. And that's one of the reasons why I have the Grandparents Guide to the Well-Oiled Kid. I actually got into essential oils for my children. We had a lot of different various health issues. We have Tourette's in my family and autism and different things. They can't have artificial sweeteners. They can't have, like, you know, you go get a cough syrup for your child and it has food dyes and aspartame in it, and we just, our family does not tolerate those well. So I had actually gone to a little human class on essential oils because I am, you know, like addicted to learning. And so I'm like, okay, cool, natural remedies for colds and coughs and flus. And we just had our new babies, and we were experiencing this. So I went to the class, and I went, wow, it smells great in here. And and so I was like, well, that was kind of fun, you know. And I was learning about humans there. But they were like, oh, yeah, you can use these on animals. I'm like, okay, I'll look into that more. And the biggest thing for me at that time that kind of coincided was I had a lot of my veterinary patients who were experiencing massive issues with home toxins. So whether it was an air deodorizing spray that they were, you know, spraying all over their couches, and the dog was getting actually kidney value elevations and vomiting and diarrhea. Her husband was a trucker, and every time that he would leave town, she'd spray down his couch with a well-known odor-eliminating fabric spray. And this dog would get tragically ill, and we'd hospitalize it.
Oh, geez.
And so the coordination started to come into place. We're like, oh, my, you could need to stop using that spray. And when she did, obviously, we we experienced that the dog didn't have a health crisis anymore. And we saw a home with cats with liver value elevations, and this lady had 13 of those plug-in air fresheners in her home.
Oh, geez.
And when we eliminated those, the liver values went back to normal.
Interesting.
So I was in this space of realizing so many toxic events for my veterinary patients. We were trying to be natural, and then they're like, well, but I love my home to smell nice. Right?
Right.
My couch stinks. So I was like, oh, when that room smelled so nice with the essential oil class, I immediately in my brain, they said they could use them for animals. I said, because I had stopped using air fresheners in my veterinary clinic then too because of this.
Right.
Well, my vet clinic was in my home. So hospitalizing a parvo puppy in your own home and not using air fresheners was really a treat. I mean, permeated the home. Every vet who's ever smelled parvo knows that that is a smell you can't even get out of your nose with a Q-tip. And it's awful. So it was in my house. I mean, that is like everywhere. It's you know, we got central air, so it's going through the vents. And,
Oh, my gosh.
It was great. So I'm like, okay, I need odor elimination. I'm going to start do this in my own home. Let's see if I can diffuse with my own animals. So, of course, everything I've ever done, I always do with my own animals first. When I'd recommend a veterinary diet, when I would recommend a leash even, I mean, it was a collar, my animals always used it first before I ever recommended it to a patient. Right. And I always tell them, I'm like, I love you. You know I'm rescuing you. But there's a kind of a price you pay to live in my home. And it's called... sometimes experimentation, but it's out of love, really, truly. So all my poor animals, yes, they have, every single one of them, there is not a single thing I've ever done with a patient that I haven't been willing to do with my own animals first. So I diffused in my own home, and I monitored blood work. My animals always had, lots of blood work and data collected on them. So I was like, hey, if there are concerns, and that's what you're going to get, if you go search essential oils in animals online, you're going to find thousands of cautionary statements. You can't do it. You can't do it around cats. You're going to kill them. It's toxic. So I was like, wait a minute. I've got people telling me you can do this. I got people telling me you can't do it. To me, I'm like, there's got to be a happy medium somewhere in there. I started researching toxicity studies. Most of the toxic actual research out there is on gross misuse of oils, so like 60 milliliters being applied to a cat or something. So the majority of it, I was like, common knowledge can kind of combat what we're seeing here. So I said, well, let's see if this is a viable option. Let's diffuse oils in my home. Let's see how my animals react. And let's monitor their blood work. So I would. I'd take blood work before they were exposed to oils, after, during. And what I found is over time, they're doing just fine. Everybody seems to be doing just fine. I've got lots of critters. I mean, I've got cats and dogs and birds and gerbils and rats and chinchillas and rabbits and fish and lizards and tortoises.
In other words, you're a veterinarian.
I'm a veterinarian. And true and true, like, I am, yeah. So, for me, I have a chinchilla. That is an incredibly sensitive species, more than cats.
Yep.
And so, I know firsthand, I absolutely 100% can diffuse oils in my chinchilla's room with absolutely safe protocols. So over the years, basically, I proved to myself as a veterinarian that it was safe with my own animals, ventured out to my patients who, most of my patients that I used them with first were the ones that had no more hope. They were about to be euthanized. And so we really didn't have anything to lose. I was either going to inject them with a substance to kill them, or we could try a couple things that could... if all the reports out there were right, yes, could it have been bad? Well, no worse than a euthanasia injection,
Sure.
And I started to see cool results. This dog that they absolutely would not use steroids on improved with essential oil use. So, who am I to say, nope, sorry, if you want to refuse steroids, you better just euthanize your dog instead of trying essential oils. To me, that's a ridiculous statement.
Right, sure.
Kill them instead of trying.
It
hey,
is.
You know.
I mean, there's so many options out there. Right.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So why do you, at first I only did try on cases where I'm like, I have nothing else to offer you except for death. I think it's okay to try. So we did, and
yeah.
for years, I kind of reserved it to, you know, okay, you can just diffuse in your home, that's great, and then, you know, okay, your kitty's arthritic, but, you know, it can't tolerate any of these non-steroidal anti-inflammatories or something, let's try some oils for it. And more we saw, you know what, and my clients were amazing clients. I never had the general population of, oh, that's too expensive to do blood work. No, my clients were like, if you say blood work every week while we're on essential oils, I'll do it.
That's
and
awesome.
So, and a lot of them had pet insurance. We really always trained in our clients, like just amazing. They're just amazing clients, and I miss them horribly. But we did. We monitored, and even in a patient with liver disease, they improved. You know, where people will say, oh, you know, you're going to kill a cat's liver by using essential oils. I'm like, well, I just gave it to a cat in liver failure, and guess what? One, we didn't kill it. Two, we saw improvement in the values, and the cat had considerable more comfort while we were combating this disorder. So now, you know, it took several years because this is, you know, we're in our ninth year of, I would say, true veterinary clinical use of oils in a medical setting. I mean, it's not just, you know, oh, we're just diffusing for a nice smell in the home. We literally use them medically. And, now I'm finally at this relaxation stage where I go, you know, I can really feel confident that when somebody's like, but my cat's kidney values are up. I am very, very comfortable in the fact that I say, you know, when used properly, and that is the biggest thing ever, when it's a high quality and used properly, we can do these things, and we can be safe, but we need to have that knowledge behind it insanely well. I wouldn't say that anybody would have a problem recognizing the fact that if you took your cat and sprayed perfume onto it, it would probably not be a good thing.
Right.
So, unfortunately, a lot of essential oils are created for the perfume market.
Right.
So, when we don't know what quality they are, you could have that potential of, yes, you are spraying perfume on your cat, and that is not a good thing. The other thing that often needs to be recognized is that, say, okay, your cat is dying, unfortunately. My cat was dying, so I tried essential oils for it, and my cat died. Was it cause and effect, or are these people grasping for straws at the last moment to try to save their pet? Because these big industries, it's a big selling market right now. Essential oils are incredibly popular,
mm-hmm.
and there are unfortunately very large corporate companies selling them, pushing them, marketing them. And so when people are like, my dog is dying, and people are like, but there's an oil for that, okay? That's
right.
Like the first thing out of their mouth. Let me sell you some. You can try this. Trust me, try this. The unfortunate part is that there's a percentage of this population that unfortunately their destiny is still probably to pass on. And so when they try a modality that didn't work for them, it could get blamed, even though that was the fate that was there.
Right.
So I always look at every report of a toxic issue with, you know, I don't ignore it. I'm not going to just brush it off and say, no, oils could never harm an animal, because they certainly can. But what's being reported out there is can never be done is not exactly true either. And most of these toxicity reports, you know, a lot of them are like, well, you know, I was putting it on my cat and my cat got very sick. And I said, well, and I even had a veterinarian do this. A veterinarian, very good friend of mine from Australia, contacted me in a panic, said, oh, my gosh, I used oils and this cat's liver values are up. I said, well, what were the cat's liver values before you used the oils? Well, I don't know. and why did you start using oils? Well, because the cat was sick. Okay, well, my brain automatically connects the dots. Maybe this cat was sick because the liver values were up in the first place and the oils didn't, you know, we don't have a cause and effect there. So we have to drive that point home that we really need to see clear data of cause and effect. And I had a sweet lady tell me, she goes, well, I know you're very concerned about, you know, how certain recommendations are coming out lately, But I did. She goes, I rubbed oils on my cat's face under its eye, and it did get better. And I said, I'm not saying that you couldn't do that. I'm saying there's probably ways we could expose your cat to it that are a lot friendlier to the cat. But two, she also said she had hot packed, kind of wiped the eye down. It was a mattery eye, and she had wiped it out. And I said, you know, honestly, I said, I have a cat rescue. I could wipe down and hot pack a cat's eye with just warm water on a washcloth and see it improve in 2 days, too. The fact that you put an oil on there, too, doesn't exactly prove to me that it improved the mattery eye. I would like to see a little more.
Yeah, that's one of the problems with social media and Dr. Google is there's so much anecdotal evidence for and against so many things. And unfortunately, we live in a society where people read one anecdotal report and, you know, all of a sudden that goes viral and everybody's like, oh, this is, you know, I got one yesterday. I did a consultation on a cat with lymphoma and she sent me a blog that somebody had written where they, and I don't even remember how they used a couple of natural products on the cat and wrote this blog and how her cat was now cancer-free. Well, there were other things used on the cat as well. The diet was changed. A lot of different things were done. And so which one of those modalities here healed the cat? I don't know.
Can I say that
those products that she used are going to cure every cat? No.
And I look at it as a synergistic approach. There is not a single patient or even somebody who purchases one of my products. I always address what diet is your animal on. People are remarking all the time in our Facebook group, I'm so impressed that you asked 5 questions before you even got to which oil you would use. I'm like, well, that's the proper thing to do. And it's synergistic. If you're using herbals, if you're using homeopathy, to me, essential oils have always added into it. If you're using chiropractic, if you're using acupuncture massage, I don't eliminate everything else. It's not just one modality that's going to help the body. It's all of them together, and they're like fingers on your hand. They all need to be there to work together. And, yeah, can I see cool things with just using essential oils? I sure can, but boy, can I see dramatic, amazing things when we combine it together with all parts of natural medicine.
I think that's a really, really good point because, you know, I have a couple of clients who have gone and taken essential oil courses with the big corporations, and they come back, and now they proclaim themselves as an expert in essential oils, and, of course, they're trying to sell them to me and, you know, all their friends, and suddenly they don't want to even hear about any other modalities. And I'm not just pointing fingers at people with essential oils. This happens with a lot of different things, flower essences, you know, raindrop therapy, whatever it is that somebody gets into, Reiki. And suddenly it's, well, this is the only way to treat. And you are absolutely correct. We need to look at all the tools in the toolbox and use them synergistically. And I think we can get so much amazing healing to occur when we do that.
Exactly. Yeah. It is almost shocking sometimes when, you hear that. It was like, well, I took a little course on it. I'm like, I've been practicing for 8 years, you know, only in essential oils, and I don't know everything. And I still change my recommendations from year to year.
Absolutely.
There are things I recommended in 2012 that I look at and I go, oh, my.
Well,
it's not where I would go right now. But that's what we do. We evolve.
Yeah, keep learning all the time. I mean, I look at some of my recipes because my shtick is food, and I look at some of my recipes from, 7, 8, 10 years ago when I was first starting in this, and I go, I really wouldn't recommend that one
do
now.
Do that now, right? But you can't take it back.
I would have to add a few things.
And that's the hard part is, like, once you've written it and it's a book and it's out there, well, it's there. And
it's
we
there
can do second
life.
Editions, but it's there. And so, but I'm proud of the fact that what I wrote has been used since 2012 or something, you know, with good results. It has a good, reputation. There have not been animals hurt with it, even though I look at some of it and go, wow, you know, the maximum range on that probably doesn't even need to be up that high. But it, that's one thing that just, eases my heart so much is that we haven't had, beyond the thing where, well, I tried to apply, oils to my cat and they hate me, they hide under the bed. Well, yeah, but you can do that with a nail trim, I'm not going to say every animal loves it, but we haven't harmed.
little special.
Yeah, they're you know. And so, yeah, they're, you know, are there dogs that are going to rub themselves on the ground after, you know, they get an oil application? Sure they are. My dogs do it after it rains, though, too.
Right.
You know, so there's...
Mine do it after they eat, and let me tell you, they're eating really good food.
Right, isn't that funny? So I'm like, it's not always just the oils, but yes, you know, it's, we want them to be as happy as possible when they experience oils, but yet
sure.
I'm still realistic that, yeah, sometimes my cat's going to get a nail trim, and for my bangle, it means I stretch her.
Yeah. Bengals. Yeah, those are like some of my worst patients, man. They are so feisty. Oh,
oh she is something else. And she, oh, yeah. She's in a whole other story.
They're just
fun. But yeah.
You know, Bengals, the Aussie cats, man, those guys, they're feisty. I mean, they really are little tiny lions.
And she's an F1, so she's like, you know, first generation out of crazy. And I got her because the breeder couldn't handle and she had a heart murmur. And he was going to show her to me, and she latched onto his hand like, I mean, her fangs were buried. And I said, I'll take her. And he's like, you what? I'm like, look, trust me, she's perfect in my home. We didn't see her for an entire month. I'm glad I put a little bell on her collar because I was like, at least I'll know she's alive.
Man. All right, we're going to go to break in a minute, but before we do, you mentioned your Facebook group, so I just want to give the addresses for those Facebook groups because you have two of them. One of them is facebook.com/groups/animalio, which is A-N-I-M-A-L-E-O, as in animal essential oil. And the other one is facebook.com/melissa.sheltondvm. So both of those would be a good resource for people to read some information, ask some questions, hopefully get some answers, be careful of the other people in the group answering questions, because if it's like my Facebook page, everybody is suddenly an expert. And sometimes you get good information, and sometimes we have to jump in there and moderate that a little bit. But, you know, if you're on the right social media sites and getting answers from the correct people, you can get a lot of really, really good information. It's just a matter of making sure that you're talking to the right person. So we're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsors, and then we're going to come back and talk to Dr. Shelton some more about her books and where you can get more information for using essential oils safely on your pets. So hang on. We'll be right back.
Interested in learning more? Visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drjudymorgan.com, where you'll find detailed information about her blogs, a schedule of her upcoming speaking engagements, free information about integrative and holistic medicine, as well as an interactive forum where anyone can ask Dr. Morgan a question completely for free. Visit her website today to join the mailing list, where you'll find exclusive information and promotions only available to those select subscribers. Dr. Morgan is an accomplished author, having published several books about veterinary medicine and home cooking for your pets. You can find From Needles to Natural, detailing her journey from practicing traditional medicine to understanding the healing power of holistic practices today on Amazon Prime, as well as What's for Dinner, Dexter, and Canine Kitchen Capers, which are two great recipe books that you'll find both delicious and entertaining.
Love Never Dies is now on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every Wednesday and Thursday at 1 p.m. and 1 a.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Jamie Turndorf, also known as Dr. Love, is the number one international best-selling author of Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased. If you're grieving the loss of a loved one, tune in and find out how to reconnect and heal any unfinished business using Dr. Turndorf's groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique. Visit AskDrLove.com to find out more. Tune in to world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan, and now radio host of Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday and Tuesday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure which food is best for your individual pet? Find out the answers to your questions in this weekly show, where Dr. Judy interviews top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Does your dog have bad breath? Tired of spending money on expensive dental procedures? Try out Dr. Morgan's dental drops today and save money while maintaining your pet's oral health. With New Zealand deer antler velvet as the primary ingredient, Dr. Morgan's dental drops are effective for treating stomatitis, gingivitis, and ulcers. You can purchase Dr. Morgan's dental drops directly from Amazon Prime or from her website, www.drjudymorgan.com. Dr. Morgan's wellness formula for dogs and cats provides multiple health benefits in one product. Made with all natural ingredients sourced from New Zealand, this supplement can be used routinely to maintain overall physical and mental well-being. This product is particularly beneficial for the maintenance of joint health, nerve and brain function, skin and coat health, immune function, gut health, and liver health. Find Dr. Morgan's wellness supplement today on Amazon Prime or at her website, drjudymorgan.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, heard every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com. So today I'm speaking with Dr. Melissa Shelton. She is the essential oil expert for animals. I think that if you want information on this topic, she is the person you need to ask. Of course, now I have just opened this up that thousands of people will be pinging her tomorrow, and she'll be going, why did I ever agree to do this? So right before we went to break, I mentioned the two Facebook groups that Dr. Shelton has, and then during the break, she gave me a little more information about the Animalio group. So Dr. Shelton, would you like to give that information to our listeners, please?
Yes, perfect. So the Animalio group I created specifically to support our products as well. We do give a lot of great, you know, recommendations and just normal veterinary advice, because like I said, it's not the only modality. We're going to talk about chiropractic and different things or getting an accurate diagnosis. There's so many people on there that I say, you go to your vet first and then we'll talk. So our group, though, is dedicated to talk about Animalio. One thing that we can't do is, you know, people want to come in there and they go, well, I use XYZ oils and I want you to give me a recipe for this. And I'm like, nope, we don't focus on, I'll certainly educate you on singles or, you know, something like that. If you want to ask, hey, what does helichrysum do or things like that, I'm so happy to do that. Or can it be used? But what we try to focus on now is the use of safe products the correct way and for which things. So you do have to, it is a closed group, so you do have to request admission to the group, so we will approve you. There's like three questions that you have to answer, because unfortunately people use that reply feature that we cannot eliminate from the Facebook group, and then I have to like open like thousands of comments to read them all. So we try to, you know, yeah. Preface you, please don't use that reply feature. But you can post a question in there, you know, like say, hey, I've got a dog with collapsing trachea. What essential oils or what can I do? How can I use essential oils that can help this collapsing trachea? So we'll talk about, yeah, you can diffuse, and that can eliminate irritation in the airway directly with a water-based diffuser. So there's great information there. You do have to request admission to it. That's the best group, honestly, to get really good questions and answers. The other page was my personal Facebook page, so you know you're gonna see kind of my kids and stuff too. Plus, I've maxed out on friends.
Yep.
You'll see a lot of my own personality coming out there. It can be dangerous.
Yeah.
But
I will not take new friends on my personal page because they limit how many you can have. So,
right. Yep. And I'm already maxed
out.
Go to
the professional one. Yeah.
Yep. So. Exactly. The Animalio group is definitely one of your best. You do have to request admission to it, answer three questions or whatever, and we'll let you in. We don't discuss other brands and things. It's not – the focus of that group is not to educate everyone else on everyone else's essential oils. We'll answer safety questions, you know, the general questions that relate to essential oils for animals, but just know what that format is for, because – there are hundreds of thousands of people in these other XYZ companies using oils, and if I only dedicated my time to educating them on their company's use of oils, it was a full-time job just to combat that. And my big thing is I used to be with an XYZ company. I put my trust at first into the fact that this XYZ company was going to always select oils that I that were of a quality that I could use in my veterinary practice. Unfortunately, I found, you know, it's just like pet food companies. Right. You can find a really great pet food, and then all of a sudden it gets sold to one of the big corporate conglomerations. They yep. change recipes, they change things, and it doesn't work anymore.
Exactly.
So I experienced it full hand, you know, learning about Santa Claus the hard way, and I can't put my trust into a company that is not a veterinarian, that doesn't have a medical aspect or animal evaluation in mind for their oils, to know that, you know, 6 months ago you ordered a lavender from this company and it was great. 8 months later you ordered it again and, uh-oh, now they have supply issues. But guess what? They have 100,000 people ordering lavender every month from them. They have to supply something.
Right.
So unfortunately, their supply chain is still always going to be about sales or supply and demand and humans, unfortunately. Or, you know, maybe it is fortunate, but humans can tolerate, I can spray perfume on myself and be okay. I can't spray it on my cat and be okay. So humans can tolerate a lot larger quality difference than an animal can. So these companies are never going to be selecting what I select as a veterinarian for an essential oil quality, because that's not what their job is. It's not their knowledge base, it's not their job, and it's not their wheelhouse. So they can say all they want that you can use these with animals, and certainly, like I said, hey, there's tons of homes spraying, you know, these odor-eliminating sprays in there too, and their animals aren't dead. Is it ideal? No, it really isn't. Is it potentially harmful in the long run? I think I've seen evidence of it. So the fact that we can use them around animals doesn't always mean we should,
right.
or that it's the best route for what we're looking for. So we just always have to use that caution there. But,
right.
but I definitely am out of the market of trying to educate everybody else about their essential oils.
Well,
so Animalio,
exactly.
yeah, Animalio came about because I love essential oils. I love my modality. As a veterinarian, it became, you know, there's some vets that are herbalists and there's some that are chiropractors. And I looked at so many different modalities, but because I'm natural based, but, you know, you always find that, like, you love nutrition. You find the one place that's yours. And
exactly.
to me, essential oils just went bingo.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, these are so amazing. It's my modality. So when I had quality issues with XYZ company, I said, now what? How do I love essential oils, recommend them to everybody, but not have, it's like not being able to recommend a dog food or something, you know?
Right.
What do I do? I need to find something. And I said, wow, there's really just nothing out there that I can trust. Even if I told you, you know, okay, yeah, this company had great lavender this year, I don't know what their supply is next year. Unless I ordered a bottle every single time you had one, I don't actually know what lot or harvest or supplier they have this time. And
right.
so if I'm going to say, oh, yes, yes, diffuse lavender for your cat, if I don't know what you have diffusing, it could be just as bad as any air freshener, you
right.
know, that I know was toxic. So I had this huge dilemma. I'm like, okay, I think I need to just pull up my big girl undies and screen oils myself. Because, and it was scary. I'm not going to lie. I mean,
yeah.
I worked with people who were in the industry for over 30 years, and I said, how can we do that? You know, can we set up that, you know, okay, if I evaluate this test, and this test, I can know that it's okay. He's like, nope, sorry, don't work that way.
Yeah.
And that's what I was finding. I'm like, yeah, that sucks. It really
yeah.
sucks. And so now everything I do with Animalio is based on, this is my reputation. This is my veterinary
sure.
license. I supply oils. I screen and supply them myself with, you know, now I'm pretty much all grown up. I don't need my grandpas anymore in the aromatherapy field to look at the oils with me anymore. I evaluate every single batch and every single chemical report and everything, and personally use them. I know everybody likes to try to make fun of that. They're like, oh, just because you've used them, those are good. I'm like, really? Somebody told me that oh, I think my company is great, because after they had sent me out an oil, they sent me a coupon because the oil they sent me before was not up to their quality standards. So now I got a free new bottle. And I said, that sounds upstanding, but why did they send out an oil in the first place that wasn't up to their quality standards?
Yeah,
is nobody checking this beforehand?
What kind of testing do you do on oils? So when you say you screen an oil, what are you looking for?
Yeah. So my big thing, okay, so I have ordered, I mean, it probably is approaching the tens of thousands of dollars worth of samples from every company and supplier you can probably imagine. I mean, if it's doTERRA, if it's Young Living, if it's a Mayo, if it's Rocky Mountain, if it's Mountain Rose, I have ordered it. And of course, now that I'm in a product situation, I go right to the big suppliers. We're ordering 5 kilograms or more of oils at a time, which is a large volume. So we have to go right to suppliers and distillers. So nowadays, I get the gas chromatography reports, the mass spectrometry reports right from the suppliers. Some of them supply them, some of them then I have to go after and get them myself. So there's some chemical analysis. You want to make sure that your oil has different parameters and levels to it. But more importantly than that is the fact that it's a really nice oil. There's something about the human nose that can detect far more than any chemical screening process can. And so I always tell people, I said, you know, if you ever are fortunate enough to get invited to my headquarters, I will get you oil drunk in a way you will never believe. And you can smell 10 different suppliers' oils side by side. There's where your education comes into hand, because that GC report might be exactly the same. I mean, it's minor differences. The chemical analysis will tell you almost nothing, but when you smell them, and there's a difference, it's cool. Everybody out there that's listening right now that has essential oils, if you haven't tried this yet, smell an oil with your right nostril, then smell it with your left nostril. There is a difference. You will pick up different things with even just your right nostril versus your left nostril. It's hilariously amazing. And we are, when you train your body to detect things, you'll be amazed at what you can do. And so we call it organoleptics. It's a stupid word for we smell the oil. but we do smell it. And, you know, when I did leave XYZ company because of quality issues, I was so impressed that after I explained to them that there were some, you know, all these concerns, that they initiated a smelling committee. And I was like, for real? Nobody smells this stuff before you put it out there? I mean, like, I mean, I smell everything I blend. I've already smelled them. I've already evaluated them. I know that that lot number is what I've approved of. And I smell them because I enjoy them every time I bottle them. You know, it's like, but I regret. So, yes. So we go through chemical analysis. We go through a lot of things. One of my biggest, criteria is, who is the supplier? Is it somebody I very much trust? Do I know where they're getting their oils from? Because honestly, I'm not going to import, 100 different varieties of oils from different countries. So I do go to supply houses that are very well respected in the industry and know everybody's going to ask where. I don't disclose that. I've spent tens of thousands of dollars in order to
find
research
the right
which sources I use. So I'm certainly not going to be like, hey, that Melissa oil that I can only get a pound of a year is the best on the market, and here's where I get it. No, sorry.
Yeah, no.
I know it sounds crude, and like it's just realistic. I'm not going to divulge my sources. But the other thing that I think is the most important, so I buy in enough, large enough quantity to make sure that when my products go out the door, they are all made with oils that, one, have already been approved and in use for usually over 6 months before they're ever in the public. So we're fortunate enough that, and my goal is to keep our product line product offerings, I guess, small enough that I will never be put into the position of compromising quality. We are very, very careful to not grow too big for our britches. There's a lot of companies that have approached me on, supplying to Canada and distributorships in Australia and things. I'm very reluctant to do it. There's more than enough people in the U.S. that,
yeah,
you know,
it is true.
I don't want
you know,
to grow too fast.
Yeah, we grow too fast and too big, and things start to change, and it's very, very hard to keep control over the quality, which, you know, a lot of us, that's really, really, really important. Okay, we need to head to another break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Dr. Shelton's books. Hang on, we'll be back in just a minute.
Interested in learning more? Visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drjudymorgan.com, where you'll find detailed information about her blogs, a schedule of her upcoming speaking engagements, free information about integrative and holistic medicine, as well as an interactive forum where anyone can ask Dr. Morgan a question completely for free. Visit her website today to join the mailing list, where you'll find exclusive information and promotions only available to those select subscribers. Dr. Morgan is an accomplished author, having published several books about veterinary medicine and home cooking for your pets. You can find From Needles to Natural, detailing her journey from practicing traditional medicine to understanding the healing power of holistic practices today on Amazon Prime, as well as What's for Dinner, Dexter, and Canine Kitchen Capers, which are two great recipe books that you'll find both delicious and entertaining.
Come explore with us natural and healthy ways to achieve inner peace, happiness, and an ever-present state of well-being on The Mind Health Coach with Leah Marie every Friday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Dream Vision 7 radio network. You're already healed. You just haven't realized it yet. When you're ready, you can change your mind and change your life forever. The power of a beautiful life is within you today.
Tune in to world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan, and now radio host of Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday and Tuesday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure which food is best for your individual pet? Find out the answers to your questions in this weekly show, where Dr. Judy interviews top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Does your dog have bad breath? Tired of spending money on expensive dental procedures? Try out Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops today and save money while maintaining your pet's oral health. With New Zealand deer antler velvet as the primary ingredient, Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops are effective for treating stomatitis, gingivitis, and ulcers. You can purchase Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops directly from Amazon Prime or from her website, www.drjudymorgan.com. Dr. Morgan's wellness formula for dogs and cats provides multiple health benefits in one product. Made with all natural ingredients sourced from New Zealand, this supplement can be used routinely to maintain overall physical and mental well-being. This product is particularly beneficial for the maintenance of joint health, nerve and brain function, skin and coat health, immune function, gut health, and liver health. Find Dr. Morgan's wellness supplement today on Amazon Prime or at her website, drjudymorgan.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Okay, we're back with Dr. Melissa Shelton, also known as the Oily Vet. I don't know if I'd want that to be my nickname, but I think it's fitting.
It's my license plate.
I think
Oily Vet is my license plate.
So, I mentioned your Facebook page, but I did not mention the website, which is www.animaleo.info. So, animaleo.info. And so I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about your books, and I also want to talk about the importance of not relying on just one thing. So one of the things that you said to me during the break is that somebody will come on the Facebook page or the website and say, okay, well, my dog has a swollen toe. What oil do I use for that? And you gave me a really good answer. So let's talk about that. Okay, Doc, my dog has a swollen toe. The nail fell off. What oil should I use on that?
Yep. And that is one of the first things we go in the group, you know, you need a diagnosis. You know, the nail falling off is not a normal thing. We might need an x-ray of the toe. We need to make sure there's not infection or an osteosarcoma or some type of a tumor causing this nail to fall off. Now, can I still recommend an oil for you to soothe the discomfort or, you know, until you get to the vet, maybe something's going to make it feel a little bit better? Sure, we can, but we focus hugely on accurate diagnosis and working with a veterinarian because we don't want people just guessing at what's wrong. Now, you know, I'll still punt for some people. They're like, you know, we've tried. We can't find anything. Oils will still always add this just wonderful, there's such this trifecta of beauty in them because they do have physical properties, but they have emotional properties. And so, and since almost all of them have shown some type of an anti-inflammatory property, and every single type of disorder known to man has inflammation associated with it, no matter what, if we incorporate just even a tiny bit of essential oils into your case, I'd say, you're going to see something, whether it's even just an emotional calming because, hey, you know what, it is stressful when your animal is diseased or having an illness or, you know, any of that, even if you're just trying to get the diarrhea smell out of your house, there is a calming benefit to the essential oils that, you know, the stress reduction alone, and there's tons of studies on PubMed.gov of essential oils and what they can do for anxieties and, you know, different things that, you know, it doesn't have to be, it can be human related. So, you know, there's still those benefits. But, yeah, you've got, it's not just dripping oil on it and that's going to cure all.
Right,
and it shouldn't cure anything, really. The body cures. I always tell people, like, oils don't fix things. Your body fixes things. Your DNA is programmed already to eliminate cancer from your body and all of these different things. None of the things, not even chemotherapy, if you're looking at a traditional manner, kills cancer. Chemotherapy is designed to reduce the cancer to a level that the body can clear it.
Right.
We need to remember that we're trying to only strive to create a normal body that can handle these problems and fix it, because if you don't know what's wrong, I guarantee you the body does.
Right.
We might not have a name for it, but the body knows what to do. The body knows how to heal a broken bone. We don't do it. We might stabilize it, but we're not responsible. That cast did not fix your broken bone.
Right.
Your body fixed the broken bone. The cast kept it stabilized so that the body could do it well.
Right.
So to me, all these natural modalities, essential oils don't cure things. Essential oils don't eliminate cancer. Essential oils set the body up for an ideal work environment.
That's a very good point. And, you know,
that's
true. it's very true with any of the modalities we use. When we feed an appropriate diet, you know, something that's species appropriate, healthy, whole foods, organic, whether we're using herbs, acupuncture, all we're trying to do is make that immune system healthy, make the body healthy so that it can heal itself. And
exactly.
I think the oils just add another layer of, you know, healing that we can add on to help the body heal itself. And, you know, for dogs that, or cats that are in chronic pain will drag you down.
It destroys the immune system.
It destroys everything. I went through a really painful bowel obstruction a few weeks ago. Oh, my gosh. And then, of course, as soon as that was taken care of, then I came down with this horrible respiratory crud because my immune system just struggled.
Yeah.
And so that chronic pain is so debilitating, and we need to deal with that, and you need to deal with that from multiple levels. But something like the oils, yes, they will decrease inflammation, but they will also help decrease anxiety, and that
can
be so important for healing. So, all right, let's talk about some of your references. You've got, we've got the Well-Oiled Kid, which I think is just great, but we do have Essential Oils for Natural Pet Care and the Animal Desk Reference, Essential Oils for Animals. Are both of these books available on Amazon?
They are, yep.
Okay, and so which one did you write first, the Essential Oils for Natural Pet Care or the Animal Desk Reference?
Yes, the Essential Oils for Natural Pet Care was it's a smaller book that I wrote first. That was, I think, more of 2011 it came out. It's real small, and it does have a lot of brand recommendations and things like that. So that one, for the most part, I would say I don't even recommend anymore. It's still available.
Okay.
A lot of people still really like it, but it's very small. There's just a very few couple references of, you know, different things you can do with oils for animals. Still safe recommendations, but the especially with the brand recommendations in it, those products aren't even available anymore in the same formulations that they were back then. So so I kind of say, you know, it's there. It's a book, but and it's it will still, you know, you can safely use it. However, I kind of got, eh. So, and then the Animal Desk reference was put out after that because I wanted a more complete manual. It still does have brand recommendations within it. Again, all of those brands now have had formulation issues. So, say, you know, XYZ Blend, you know, that I recommended in here, now is called XYZ Blend 2 for the company. And
right.
It's like, oh, well, you know. And a certain nutritional supplement, this liquid oral stuff, it's not even the same recipe anymore, and it doesn't even work. So unfortunately, a lot of my patients who were reliant on it and on all these things I reported about the product when it was really great went by the wayside pretty quickly. And it was like, oh, man, why did you do a formulation change and this bad? So, But with that book, the properties of the single essential oils within it and what we've done with those oils or if you have a diagnosis from your veterinarian, what oils would support that condition. So like I said, we're trying to support the body in normal healing. So, you know, if your dog did have a lick granuloma, which oils would support the fact that that feels better or your body could heal it better or, you know, so what are the different properties of the oil? So that book really does do a good discussion of in the veterinary field, what did we see the single essential oils do? What were their properties? How did we use them? What were some of the maximum doses that we've seen them used with? It is very much a practical book. It was based on what we knew of practical knowledge, not necessarily of research studies. So it's still a very good book. Just ignore all of the proprietary blends and supplement recommendations within it, and you still have an amazing book. Like, you know, if we're going to talk about diffusion for animals, there's several different ways we can diffuse essential oils. We can do it with an air-style diffuser. We can do it with a water-based diffuser. We can actually sometimes nebulize animals by tenting them with the vapor from a water-based diffuser with essential oils very effectively, amazingly effectively. But there's instructions then with that involved. So the book itself is going to do a great job in explaining how we can use essential oils for animals, which essential oils are supportive of different things, and give you safe instructions for, you know, what you could theoretically do with oils. You know, and of course, I'm working on a second edition. It's slow going. I want it to be much more of a technical reference, this next edition. It's not going to focus on any brands, not even my own brand. It's just going to be the clear medical data behind essential oils and what, you know, what we see and what we do, but a lot more of the research available with it. That being said, there has been a new book released just even in this last week before this interview that does actually take the name phrase of my book within it. So it's confusing to others. So that book is called The Essential Oils Animal Desk Reference, and it is published by Life Science Publishing. That book has nothing to do with me. It is not my second edition, which a lot of people think it is, and I have already received a copy of it and different recipes from it, and it is concerning to me. I think that book is setting back animal aromatherapy by decades. The recommendations in it are fairly extreme from what I have evaluated so far. There's a lot of oral recommendation going on within the book, such as, you know, like for cats, for hairballs, a very common condition for cats. To me, when I hear about cats having hairballs, I'm going to immediately think, let's evaluate the diet. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, this book is recommending 4 drops of essential oils twice a day within some of their other products. So they're mixing 4 drops of neat essential oils into a liquid, which I, you know, fortunately enough, I would think that you're going to have a hard time getting this into a cat in the first place. But for those who do achieve it, these are excessive and disturbing doses to me, I would say. And the fact that they do not list an author on this book. It is a compiled book by a publishing company. However, they're reporting that veterinarians worked on it. However, none of these veterinarians will come forward and speak to me on this issue because I think it's very important. Nor some of the veterinarians that have been promoting this book, I asked them to give their cat this hairball remedy. Like I said, I wouldn't do anything to my cat that I wouldn't recommend. They said, well, my cat doesn't have hairballs. To me, it matters not. If you are willing to put a book recommendation out there to the masses, last stat I heard from this particular company was that there is 1.7 million distributors from their company. If our statistics are correct, 63% of those homes own animals.
Right.
And to me, it is, I was nauseous and sick to my stomach to see these recommendations that I think are going to hurt animals. And it hurts. I've been fighting the good fight since 2008, trying to let people know we can use essential oils. There are things we can do for animals that are amazing. They're great. We have to do it correctly. We have to do it safely. We owe that not only to the animal, but to the aromatherapy market in general. But I am beyond disgusted with the recommendations in this book as okay to recommend to the mass public.
It's like anything that we can use, you know, people who say, you know, want to use herbs, want to use, you know, certain things in the diet, anything can be used incorrectly or to the point of being dangerous for our pets. So for those of you who are interested in essential oils, Dr. Shelton is the leading foremost expert in essential oils for animals. Check out her website, animalio.info. I am not an essential oil expert, but I am going to start following Dr. Shelton's information. I'm going to get her new book when it comes out, when she finally gets it. I know how that is, getting a book out there. It is time-consuming and frustrating. Thank you so much, Dr. Shelton, for joining me today. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Keep your pets safe. Make sure that you are getting good information. Her website again, animalio.info. My website, drjudymorgan.com. We'll see you next week on Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets. Thanks for tuning in.
That's all for today. Find more answers to your questions next time on Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time by going to DreamVision7Radio.com and every fourth Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time when Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is at 1510 a.m. WMEX Boston. Join holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy to discover healthy options for raising your pets in a more holistic manner. Visit DrJudyMorgan.com to learn more.